Dateline Washington, Wednesday, February 25th, 2009. Hello again from the nation's capital. I'm Greg Corumbus. In this edition, a conversation with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway. What did he think of the president's speech to the Congress and to the nation on Tuesday as he outlined his agenda for sparking an economic recovery? We'll talk about tax hikes, tax cuts, oversight of massive government spending, and the president's claim that he will create or save 4 million jobs through this program. Also in this edition of Dateline Washington, Obama and healthcare. We'll talk about the agenda he outlined, the language he used, and what really might be coming down the pike for your healthcare policy with Grace Marie Turner of the Galen Institute. Plus, Obama and energy. The issue is a major priority for Obama this year, but what should we make of his call for a carbon cap and no mention of oil or gas drilling? We'll talk with David Holt of the Consumer Energy Alliance. And the price tag of all this. Just how much government intrusion will we see in the Obama plan? And just how good or bad is that for the American economy? We'll talk with Diana Furchgott-Roth of the Manhattan Institute. All that, plus Wednesday's top news, follows our discussion with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, and that begins right now. My first guest in this edition is Texas Congressman Mike Conaway, a Republican representing the Lone Star State's 11th Congressional District. We want to get his thoughts in reaction to President Obama's Tuesday night address to a joint session of Congress and the nation about his plans for an economic recovery. And Congressman, thanks so much for being with us.
Oh, it's great to be with you.
We have seen so much and so much debate over the past few weeks about some of the president's policies, from, of course, the stimulus package to the more recently announced mortgage plan. Obviously, he touched on a number of different subjects last night. Which one pricked your ears most?
Well, probably the one that I serve on the Armed Services Committee, and his comment about Cold War, platforms and cutting those out, it got my attention. And then the second one, of course, would have been his whack on agribusinesses that I represent. But the Cold War legacy, the Cold War platforms, is the one that got my attention right off the bat. What I wished he would have said, something he didn't say, what I wished he would have said was, he was in that part of his speech where he talked about we've got hard choices ahead, we've got tough things to do, and, calling us to our better nature. I wish he would have said, and we're starting tonight, I'm asking the Speaker and the Leader of the Senate to scrap this omnibus bill that finishes out the spending for 2009, put it at the same level of 2008, let's keep it flat, and let's start that process tonight on these hard decisions. And he didn't, of course. He made no real call to any specific hard choice, just that broad 10,000-foot thing, which any good politician can make those kinds of statements. It's when you begin to get into the details that where it gets hard. And nothing he said last night was really called anybody to scratch their head and say, all right, this is going to be hard. Let's save Social Security. Well, great. Who doesn't want to do that? Let's reform or renegotiate Medicare and Medicaid. Great. Who doesn't want to do that? But not much specifics on how we go about it in his talk last night.
Congressman, follow up if you can just a little bit on the $410 billion spending bill that we saw passed in the House earlier today, especially in terms of the increase in discretionary spending, which I know raised a few eyebrows.
Well, it's a $32 billion increase, and this is on top of a lot of money that was spent in the stimulus package in many of these exact same areas. And so I think the number I saw, if you pick up the stimulus package spending in the discretionary arenas as well as a $32 billion increase for the last half of the year, it's like a $301 billion increase over 2008. For this last half of fiscal 2009. So, again, I wish the president would have begun to lead on these hard things last night, but he chose not to, and as a result, we're going to see a $32 billion increase in discretionary spending, one of the larger annual increases since Jimmy Carter was around, except for, I guess, one year right after 9/11. And it's the wrong message. It's the wrong thing to be doing. We continue to fiscally abuse our the generations who will follow us by adding additional permanent debt to their backs that they're going to have to pay the interest on for all of their lives. And it's wrong. We shouldn't be doing it. But we continue to do that today.
One of the moments in the speech that it seemed, at least from watching on television, Congressman, drew the most jeers from the Republican side of the room was the president's contention that there were no earmarks in the stimulus plan. Care to elaborate on that?
Well, the entire plan was his earmark. I mean, if you're going to define earmark as spending the way I want it to done, we call member spending earmarks. The president's budget and the president's stimulus plan, those you know, those are monies that he directed, or in all likelihood, Speaker Pelosi did. You know, two programs that got some comments that weren't, you know, the Harvest Mouse issue in San Francisco, that's going to get done. If there is a high-speed railroad done from L.A. to Vegas, that's a Harry Reid earmark. And so in the president's, you know, plan itself was an earmark. So he should have been more careful about that, and because it's it just didn't ring true. We all know it. And, you know, to the extent he believes that, then he's very naive.
We know the president will be releasing his budget, I believe, tomorrow on Thursday. But last night in the speech, he talked about taxes, talked about how tax hikes would be proposed in the budget for those making above $250,000 per year. He did not mention that his budget is also expected to call for an increase in the capital gains tax from 15% to 20%. He also, though, highlighted the fact that, in his words, 95% of Americans would be seeing a tax cut. What should we know about the details on either side of that part of the argument?
Well, the $250,000, our analysis show that 64% of the folks in that category are small business owners. And so if you increase their taxes, that's money that they can't pay their employees, that's money they can't reinvest in their business, that's money they can't use to hire new employees. And so if you ask the employees of those small business owners whether or not they want their boss taxes to go up so that we can spread it out with the federal government, as opposed to leaving it in that business and letting that that business owner deploy those assets properly, my guess is the employees would say, no, let's leave the money with the boss, and maybe he'll hire some more folks or give us a raise or those kinds of things. So it's an attack on small businesses of America. The capital gains increases, and the increases on the quote-unquote, you know, richest of us is coming at a time when we're in a recession. Tax increases are counterproductive in the extreme. Roosevelt showed that it doesn't make sense to take money away from people and spend it inefficiently at the federal government level when you could leave it with them and let them spend it themselves. Now, the impact on the deficit is the same. If we don't increase taxes, the deficit goes up, or if we increase spending, the deficit goes up. But I'm a lot more comfortable with not collecting taxes, leaving that money with the private sector. They'll deploy it better, more efficiently, and quicker than could ever get done in some sort of a federal program.
We're talking with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway. And Congressman, he mentioned again last night, he's mentioned it several times, that there will be strict oversight and unprecedented transparency in charting how the money for the stimulus plan, and I would imagine other spending initiatives, is implemented. How confident are you that that will help to eliminate some government waste?
Not very. The vice president actually made the comment that he was going to personally oversee the spending of every single dollar. The good news is it's big enough that he's going to be very busy doing that. He's been appointed to the task force to oversee this. We will see over the next 2 years spending wreck after spending wreck that will embarrass anyone who voted for this thing. I mean, this is going to be the gift that keeps on giving to folks out there who want to run against somebody who voted for this stimulus package, because there will be money spent by, you know, folks who get to make those decisions that a lot of folks will disagree with. And we're going to have disclosures about that over the next couple of years that there's going to continue to embarrass people. And it's unfortunate because that's money that didn't have to be spent. That's money that didn't need to get borrowed permanently from future generations that's going to get wasted. So the die is cast. Certainly the oversight and the opportunity to see, you know, where the money goes. Hopefully he'll follow through with the websites and the other things that they're going to put out there that allow regular rank and file Americans to be able to look at certain things. Will help disclose that and rein it in. But the bad news is once it's disclosed, the money's been spent, and there's precious little way to get it back. So it's kind of shutting the door to the barn after the cows are out.
Congressman, on your blog and on your website today, you link to an analysis from an economist who says that President Obama has termed the goals of the stimulus package in such a way by saying that he hopes to create or prevent the loss of 4 million jobs total, that the way he's phrased it, he can't possibly be disappointed. Explain what the theory is there.
Well, if you're just saving jobs at the tune of some 200 $70 million per job, that's just basically just treading water. We had an analysis on the Republican alternative, and it's not fair for Republicans or those who oppose this current plan to not have a better plan, at least to be able to tout. Our plan, which was focused on tax cuts, rate cuts across a broad spectrum of folks for a long period of time, as well as small business tax cuts on small businesses, would have increased jobs by 6.2 million over the next 2 years at half the cost of the deficit. And so we thought we had a better plan that would create new jobs as opposed to spending lots and lots of money to just, quote-unquote, hold jobs. So the idea is not just to hold what we've got, but to grow the economy. And there are better ways to do that than massive government spending that has to be borrowed and paid for by future generations.
Last 60 seconds with Texas Congressman Mike Conaway. And Congressman, also today, President Obama outlining his plans for additional regulations for Wall Street and the financial industry. In terms of assessing the overall economic crisis right now, how much of it do you believe is due to excessive deregulation? And what's your impression of the regulation that he wants to impose?
Well, I haven't seen his plans for the regulations that he poses, but he did propose last night a cap and trade system, which is interesting because the folks who will make the most money out of cap and trade, in addition to the federal government, will be the Wall Street types who trade those cap and those limits on the cap and trade system. So he's on the one hand complaining about Wall Street, but yet on the other hand he wants to promote a new business that some of those folks on Wall Street will make a lot of money over on swapping those credits back and forth among people. So, but the specific regulations he's talking about, it's hard to regulate greed. It's hard to place laws against greed. And much of that happened across the entire spectrum, not just Wall Street. It happened all across America where folks borrowed money they shouldn't have borrowed. They loaned money they shouldn't have loaned, created things to chase yields and other kinds of things, created different kind of vehicles to invest in to chase yield, and lost sight of the reality. And so it's going to be always going to be hard to regulate greed.
Congressman, unfortunately, that needs to be the last word. Thank you, sir, as always, for your time.
Good to be with you.
Texas Congressman Mike Conaway represents his state's 11th congressional district. This is Dateline Washington.